This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Yousef Rab, who's the Deputy Chief of Staff for California State Controller Steve Wesley. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to talk about a new lawsuit designed to block the appropriation of funds for stem cell research in California under Prop 71, but maybe you could give us an update on the last lawsuit and designed for that purpose and its current status from the perspective of your office.
Well, so far the opponents of this measure have failed in court, just like they failed at the ballot box, to stop the work of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. The bottom line is, unfortunately, there are extremists out there who don't want this life-saving research to proceed. Controller Steve Wesley and the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine will continue to vigorously defend the will of the voters who passed Proposition 71 overwhelmingly to support this life-saving research. We just hope that these continued legal battles don't delay critical science that could cure cancer, diabetes, AIDS, and so many other life-threatening, life-ending, in fact, diseases.
Well, where is the legal bouncing ball right now in this the primary case that claimed that the CIRM and the ICOC were not under the exclusive jurisdiction and control of the state of California?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure, Mark, whether there's been a ruling in that or not, but I do know there hasn't been a ruling in our opponent's favor yet.
Oh, well, actually, the district court ruled in your favor.
Oh, okay. See, that's...
but the opponents of the of Prop 71 are appealing it to the Supreme Court.
You know, I'm not sure. I don't know if their appeal has been accepted or not.
Right.
So as far as I know, this is still in the legal netherworld of being undecided. But the bottom line is, you know, as you said, and that I believe is accurate, you know, we prevailed in lower courts. Everybody has the right to appeal all the way up to Washington, D.C. and the United States Supreme Court. So we could be stuck with these legal hurdles for some time. We just hope that we're able to still move forward with the critical research that the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine is seeking desperately to do.
Right now, as long as the lawsuit was pending, the bonds authorized by Prop 71 and by the ICOC weren't saleable because investors weren't sure they'd get their money back, so they weren't buying them. With the district court decision and the possibility of an appeal of that decision to the Supreme Court, I wanted to know from your office's point of view whether anything has changed and whether the primary bonds in the hundreds of millions of dollars that were authorized by Prop 71 are now saleable or whether they remain as unsaleable as they were before the district court's decision.
You know, I would have to look into that, Mark, but let me tell you what Treasurer Phil Angelides, along with Controller Wesley and others involved in overseeing the California Institute, were able to do. The Treasurer recently sold some bond anticipation notes to investors, and what those are notes in anticipation of the sale of the bond. Now, as you said, the bond hasn't been sold yet. So what we did is we went out there in private investors and said, listen, we will sell you these bond anticipation notes that when the bonds are sold, you will earn a return on your money. However, if the bonds are not sold, the amount of money that you paid for these bond anticipation notes is a gift to the Institute, is a donation to the Institute. So we were able, despite these legal challenges, to get $38.9 million, almost $40 million, to 16 institutions.
Okay, so now I want to check on that. According to the press release that the opponents of Prop 71 put out, they said that on April 4th, 2006, the California Stem Cell Research and Cures Finance Committee, chaired by State Treasurer Phil Angelides, approved the sale of $14 million in bond anticipation notes to fund ICOC training grants.
Yes. And,
was that part of the 38.9?
That was part of the 38.9, as far as I understand.
So the State Treasurer Angelides approved the sale of almost $40 million in bond anticipation notes, which have the qualities that you mentioned, that if they weren't, if they should be rendered void by legal action, they would the investments would become contributions.
Exactly.
Tax deductible, I assume.
Not sure about that, but ultimately this was a creative and good solution to getting money out the door and to the scientists while these legal battles were being waged.
Okay.
The bottom line is a huge majority of California voters agreed with the medical community that this life-saving research has the potential to unlock secrets of science that could cure cancer, that could cure AIDS, that could cure diabetes, that could prolong human life, that could ease human suffering. And we want to do everything we can to move this work forward.
Before we talk about getting the money out the door, I wanted to concentrate on the money coming in the door.
Sure.
The 38.9 million in bond anticipation notes that were approved, have they been sold?
You know, I'm not sure. I think some have been sold.
But you're not sure?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many. The information I have, I know some bond anticipation notes have been sold. I'm not sure.
But you don't know what amount?
They're not sure what amount.
Okay.
The Treasurer, I know, actually executes the sale of these bond anticipation notes, and he may know.
I'll check with his office.
Yeah.
The press release goes on to say, Defendant Wesley, that's your boss, then approved the issue following the April 4th approval of the $14 million for the training grants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the way, do you know what the other $25 million was intended for?
No, not sure.
Okay.
And maybe the ICOC would know those specifics.
Okay.
But again, the controller, approves, basically signs every check issued by the state of California.
Right, and in the press release it says, Defendant Wesley then approved the issuance of warrants for the release of $12.1 million in funding pursuant to the ICOC grant awards.
Yeah.
And so, is that correct?
I'm not sure if it's correct, but we'll take their word for it because I know that we fully intended to get this grant money out the door.
Okay, so
I can't say whether it's accurate or not, but I won't deny it.
Right.
Because, as I said, Controller Wesley wants to do everything he can to support this critical research.
Right.
And again, all state checks are routed through our office.
Exactly. Right.
Carry a signature, actually.
Right. But you don't know how much of the 38.9 approved for sale has been sold, and therefore whether or not it's greater or lesser than $12.1 million.
Exactly. You know, again,
what I guess I'm trying to understand is whether the controller can issue a warrants for the release of $12.1 million before $12.1 million of those bonds have been sold. In other words, can you write a post-dated check, essentially?
No, I don't believe so. We would have to have the funds in an account before we could cut the check.
Okay, so it's a reasonable assumption that the $12.1 million have been sold, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, then they go on to say that Defendant Dines, by whom they mean the President of the University of California, received $6.7 million of the funds released on behalf of the University of California. Is that also true?
You know, again, I'm not sure. I didn't look into this, but I wouldn't dispute it. I'm sure the UC system received funds.
Okay. All right. So we've got as close as we can to. But you haven't denied, and you've more or less confirmed the numbers and the procedures that have gone on.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, I don't deny that. And again, I'm not sure. I just want to be accurate here.
Right.
I wasn't prepared to do a lengthy interview, but
right.
You know, I wouldn't dispute that this money went out the door and then it went toward life-saving research.
Okay.
What we do dispute is the allegations of illegality and impropriety.
Exactly. This is all background for the allegations of illegality and impropriety.
Yeah.
The claim of the plaintiffs in this case is that this is an illegal and inappropriate action, the granting of money to the University of California, because nine members of the ICOC are employees of the University of California. And they essentially claim that this is self-dealing of individuals acting on behalf of their own institution, and therefore the transfer of funds so authorized under the procedures we've just been discussing is illegal. What's your response to that?
You know, 2 points. First of all actions have been fully in compliance with Proposition 71, which, when approved by a large majority of California voters, became the law of the state of California. So first of all, we're complying with that law. Second of all, to deny funding to the University of California, the nation's, if not the world's, preeminent public university system, would be a disservice, to say the least, to the life-saving research we're trying to do. That's, you you know, I don't know how to say it. That's like telling, you know, the president not to buy a Cadillac or a Lincoln to drive around in for his limousine. You know, there, you know, you have to do business with the University of California when that business is life-saving research.
Well, the question, the distinguishedness of the University of California and its researchers is in no way called into question in mm-hmm. the press release or the lawsuit. The question is, according to the press release, the ICOC, it says, is the 29-member governing board of the California Institute for Regenerative
yep,
Medicine,
absolutely.
9 members of whom are affiliated with the University mm-hmm. of California.
Yeah.
The lawsuit claims that the taxpayers of California are being harmed because of a conflict of interest that exists because members of the ICOC who voted to give the money yep. to the University of California are themselves affiliated with employees of the University of California. What is that a conflict of interest or not?
It's not, and here's why. Number one, like you said, the board is 29 people. This is a sizable percentage of that, of course, but it's not a majority, and it's certainly not the entire board. Number two, remember, the University of California system, no one's making money off of this. No one's buying a new car. No one's buying a new house. No one's taking a vacation because Ferrum awarded grants to the University of California.
Really? Who is getting that? Isn't that money paying salaries of professors and researchers?
Sure.
And aren't they using that to buy cars, vacations, and houses?
There is a big difference between awarding a contract to a private business and awarding it to the University of California system. These professors, I don't know the specifics of the program, but I would hazard to guess that a lot of these folks are already on salary there. Additional people may be taken on. I hope so. I hope as many people as possible are hired.
Well, then the people who are hired will be having vacations, cars, and houses with the money they get.
But again, the people who are, again, you know, those members of the board aren't the ones being hired. And those people who are
no, but their employer, the University of California, uh-huh. is getting the money.
Uh-huh. And what benefit does the University of California system derive from that, other than the resources it needs to conduct life-saving research? So if that's a benefit, I hope that they benefit 110% off of this. Because ultimately, all the UC is getting from it, and remember, the UC belongs to the people of California.
So what you're saying is that the benefit goes... Okay.
The UC California belongs to the people of California. The ultimate benefit to the UC, therefore, goes to the people of California. The benefit is the resources to develop life-saving cures to diseases.
Okay.
And that'll benefit all of humanity.
We could... Right, but the money itself will more specifically benefit individual employees and consultants of the University of California, won't it?
You know, just that...
They're not doing this work for nothing.
Well, of course not.
Right,
and no one does. That's like saying, you know, when the police chief goes before the city council to get money for his department and then hires new officers that somehow the police chief personally benefited.
But my question is, to take your analogy, if the members of the city council either include the police chief or include employees of the police department, and they are about to vote on whether or not they and their colleagues will receive extra money, I would assume that that's a conflict of interest and that those members of the city council who are also employees of the police department would recuse themselves from that vote, wouldn't
you know,
they?
You know, here's the bottom line, Mark. When
right.
it comes to life-saving research, the University of California should benefit all it can.
Okay, well,
benefit is the resources it needs. And again, according to California state law, which is Proposition 71, there was no conflict.
Well, neither I nor the plaintiffs in this case are making any statements about the worthwhileness of the of the research. The question that they're raising is that it's improper, illegal, and illegal for members of the ICOC who work for the University of California not to recuse themselves, but to vote in favor of turning over millions of dollars to their own institution.
Sure, and all I can say to that is it's neither inappropriate nor illegal. It's quite the contrary.
Okay. That being the statement of the controller, I only had... had two more questions.
Sure.
In the case that was decided in Alameda County and that now probably is on appeal to the Supreme Court, the Attorney General was the attorney for the Comptroller and Mr. Angelides and the state and the ICOC and so on.
Yeah.
Do you know if the Attorney General is representing the Comptroller in his capacity as Comptroller in this lawsuit as well?
You know, I'm not sure. All I can say is it's you know, the Attorney General is essentially our in-house law firm, so it would not surprise me. I'm not sure if that decision has been made yet.
Okay. And finally, the human interest question here. Your boss didn't get nominated to run for governor against Arnold Schwarzenegger. You want to say anything about his plans? Is he going to go back to teaching at Stanford, going back to work for eBay, or doing pursuing new interests?
I work for the state, so I can't really get into that sort of thing, other than to say, as controller, you know, Steve Wesley is going to continue doing what he's always been doing, trying to make California work better for the people.
Okay, if it would be possible for you to get some more details about the ebb and flow of this money into and out of your office, maybe in a future conversation we can talk about that.
I'll tell you what I have right here is that $12.1 million went out the door, and I have, this is what's been sold so far, are $14 million in bond anticipation notes.
Okay, so as far as you know,
$14 million were sold, and $12.1 million went out. That's verified.
So you're saying the $14 million that were approved by State Treasurer Angelides on April 4th, they've all been sold.
Yeah,
and after they were sold, your office issued warrants for $12.1 million, of which $6.7 million were issued to the University of California.
Yeah, I don't have that split, but it will take their word for it.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for sharing the views of your office on this new lawsuit.
No problem at all. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.